The sermon for today, the fifth Sunday in Lent, commonly called Passion Sunday, was written by our Most Reverend John T.K. Holmes, late Metropolitan of the Anglican Catholic Church. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
I believe that before Abraham was, he is. Today we enter into Passion Tide. Passion Tide will last through Good Friday. We are talking about passion in its literal sense of endurance and suffering, rather than its more current connotation of bodice ripping and heavy breathing. In this morning's Gospel, St. John reveals what triggered Jesus' passion, the suffering that ended in his death. St. John tells us that the smoking gun was in the case of high priest versus Jesus of Nazareth. First of all, he was more popular than they were. He was also able to beat them consistently and publicly at the game they thought they played best, which was debating the meaning of the Bible. Jesus also threatened the arrangement the leadership had worked out with the occupying Roman government. One of the ways in which the Romans promoted civic and cultural unity in the empire was to make people bow down before images of the emperor Caesar. Jews believed that doing that violated the commandment against idolatry. The Romans agreed to exempt the Jews from acts of Caesar worship. What they got in return was a promise from the Jewish authorities that they would keep order, keep their people in line. The ongoing threat to order was the Jewish belief, based squarely on their scriptures, that someday God was going to send a man to earth who would set everything to rights for the Jews and restore them to independence. He was the Anointed One, the Messiah, the Christ. Anyone who claimed that he was that man became a threat to the established order. The Jewish leadership did not want the Messiah to come. Jesus' followers said he was the Messiah, and his ride into Jerusalem next Sunday underscored the claim. There was a general feeling among the leadership that they had to get rid of Jesus. Allowing someone who was so charismatic and so smart and so popular to remain at large was just too threatening. I think it is important to realize that the theological and religious issues Jesus posed were not the main problem. They provided a pretext. The deeper issue was Jesus' threat to good order and to the cozy relationship between the Jewish leadership and the Romans. Today's Gospel shows us what the leadership seized upon as the specific pretext on which to have Jesus executed. It gives us evidence that Jesus committed the crime of blasphemy. Blasphemy was a capital crime under Jewish law. Jesus was involved in one of his perpetual arguments with the Jews. He tells them they are not really godly. They respond with an ethnic slur and the charge that he is possessed. He replies that he honors his father. He doesn't have a devil, and if someone pays attention to his words, that person will not die. Jesus is being provocative on purpose. The Jews responded, "How can you say such a thing? Do you claim to be greater than all of our heroes of the past, like the prophets and Abraham?" Jesus says, "I know God. You don't. You claim to know him, but you're liars. And furthermore, I knew Abraham, and he was glad to meet me." The Jews reply, "How can you say you met Abraham when Abraham lived 2,000 years ago and you aren't even 50? Jesus replies, "Before Abraham was, I am. I am is you revealed to Moses at the burning bush. Not only was Jesus uttering God's name, which was blasphemy enough, but he was also applying the name to himself. Later on, at the end of the speech about how he is the good shepherd, Jesus says, "I and the Father are one." The Jews pick up rocks to throw at him, and he says, "I have done quite a few good works in front of you. For which of them are you trying to stone me?" The Jews reply, "We don't want to stone you for your good works. We want to stone you for blasphemy, because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. You are an ordinary human being, and you claim you are God, just the same as our God in heaven." On Good Friday, in front of Pontius Pilate, they will echo all this, saying, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." The charge against Jesus is blasphemy. Given the state of their understanding and their resistance to what he was saying about himself, the charge makes sense. We know that it was mostly a pretext. Jesus' real crime was that he threatened to disrupt business as usual. This is as clear a claim as Jesus ever makes, that he is what we believe he is, God himself, the second person of the Trinity. C.S. Lewis says that that claim gives us only two choices. Either he is speaking the truth, or he is crazy, as a man would be thought crazy if he said he was a fried egg. If Jesus is not God, he is merely an historical curiosity. If Jesus is God, then what he says to us assumes ultimate importance. His passion becomes the way God reconciles us to himself, by washing our sins away in Jesus' blood. I just don't think Jesus was, nor is, crazy. I believe that before Abraham was, he is. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, be ascribed as is most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.